Okay, this hour we'll take your phone calls, questions, stories. Maybe you've been abducted by aliens. Check in with us. Bob Mitchell, his book, What If? Close Encounters of the Unusual Kind. Okay, welcome back. Bob Mitchell with us, of course, and we'll get your calls, all kinds of stories. Did they ever talk about Roswell in terms of what caused that craft to crash, Bob?
Yes, they did. The material that the craft are made of is called something called Rodan, and it's mined on some of their planets. And according to Cinta, this material is about 300 times stronger than diamond. And so it's almost impossible for a missile or a gun or anything that we have to shoot them out of the sky. But what happens is that if they're flying low enough and they are hit, that sometimes it will take them out of balance, that the balance of the craft will start wobbling. And when that happens, the craft becomes hard to maneuver. And in some cases, that's what happened at Roswell, that it was hit by a military, I guess it was a missile back then, but it was hit by some artillery and it crashed. And they went out and discovered the bodies and quickly, you know, after first announcing that it was a UFO, we all know the story that they tried to cover it up. But they did, mankind is able to shoot them down, but they only if they get low enough and they cause this wobble. Other than that, it's really fruitless. It's their material is just impenetrable from what we have.
This work that you've done, Bob, over the years, and you're still involved with the MUFON in Canada?
Yeah, I'm not really interested in lights in the sky. I'm basically totally involved with people who have had experiences. That's what I'm interested in.
We want landings. We want abductions.
Yeah. I mean, like, everybody can look up in the sky and think they see something, but if that thing comes down and they get out and talk to you or take you somewhere, that's a whole different ballgame.
Are you concerned at all about all these cases? I mean, do you think there's something else going on here?
Well, I definitely think there's something going on. I mean, I think there's just too much evidence to suggest that we're not being visited by superior intelligent beings. And I think there's too much evidence to suggest that it's just one. I think there's many different species that probably are using us for some kind of experiment, or you know, I really think that there is some sense that they are in cahoots with the world government, that you know, our governments have known for many, many years, perhaps the last 60-70 years, that these intelligence beings really are there, and perhaps they are in control of what goes on. One of the interesting things is this summer, the Alien Cosmic Expo that I'm involved in, again, our theme this year is going to be disclosure is closer than ever. And as part of this, we're going to have a world-class panel of experts such as Richard Dolan, Grant Cameron, Stanton Friedman.
Great people. Great.
Yeah, Danny Sheehan, who has just come on board, and for people who don't know anything about him, he's a former Watergate lawyer who is now very close to the Vatican, and he's going to talk about what the Vatican knows about aliens. Stephen Bassett, I think, is going to be here, and Nick Pope's going to come. And what we're going to do is we're going to have them on the stage talk about what they know about extraterrestrials and the government cover-ups. And we're going to have a panel of hopefully six or seven of the top Canadian journalists and hopefully some American journalists ask them questions. And it's going to be called the ET Disclosure Hearing. And I think it's going to be the most significant event in North America this year. You know, disclosure is, I think, getting closer, particularly with what happened with Hillary recently, even though it was, she says it was a flippant remark. I think there's some more guts to it than just that. You know, so I think there's something going on, and I think it's been building, and there's just too many people from astronauts to government insiders to scientists, pilots, you name it, who have had experiences of seeing things and are told they can't tell us about it.
All right, let's go to the calls here for you, Bob. They're lining up. Sure. Questions, stories, maybe they've been abducted. Biloxi, Mississippi, Jane's with us. Hey, Jane, good morning.
Well, hi, George. Hi, good morning to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I was hoping this was applicable to the story topic going on.
All right, give it a try.
I was raised in Arkansas, Blue Ball, Arkansas, right in the middle of a valley of the Ouachita Mountains. And we had many cattle mutilations take place on our farm, and lots of farms close by. In fact, once I was older and started researching this, I realized it happened a lot over the country, especially the lower southern, part of the country. But you know, everything was kind of the same as the accounts of other folk. The tongues were cut out in a perfect surgical way.
Mm-hmm.
The bladder or the womb was removed surgically, and there was no blood. It was a very strange thing, and this happened with approximately 24 head of daddy's cattle. One was quite interesting, and it just blew our mind, you know. And the older I got, I thought, oh my gosh, did this really happen to me? Because I accepted it as just a happening. Like most people experience something weird like this. But anyway, there was a cow that went into the thicket. It didn't look like it had gone in there by any kind of force. There was, I guess, grass. I suppose the cow was in there eating grass. Daddy found it. It was tongue out, the womb removed, and it was leaning up against like a tree. It wasn't even totally down at all. It was just leaning to its side and with no struggle. With no signs of struggle and no blood. another account that I had, I think this was toward the end, Daddy and the boys went out to look and saw a cow, and they wouldn't let me go look this time.
It was that bad, probably.
The cow was cut up in a perfect surgical way. It was like sliced up. Professionally, you know,
mm-hmm.
just wasn't something, you know, that anybody could do easily whatsoever. But anyway, they had researched the kind of metal, kind of, you know, examined the whole scene and found out that that was no kind of metal that they knew about here on the earth. You know, like I said, as I got older, I started kind of researching more things and found out, you know, the FBI, I think it was, the government, they gave the FBI, I think it was the FBI, a huge, huge grant, huge amount of money to find out what was going on across the nation. They could not find out. This went on, I think, maybe a couple years. They were trying desperately to find out. And
what do you think was happening there, Jane?
Oh my goodness! Well, I totally believe it was
ET related.
Excuse me, sir.
Extraterrestrial related.
Oh, totally, George. Totally.
Let's check in with Bob here. Bob,
yep.
Did you get any cases like that?
I didn't get any cases with cattle mutilation, but we had an interesting case up here in Calgary, Alberta, in the summertime, which just kind of shows you how our government thinks we're a bunch of idiots when they explain things. There was a farm in I think it was about 27 miles northwest of Calgary, Alberta, where they found a cow that had the exact same kind of gruesome things done to it as your caller said that she found in her cattle. And the RCMP came out and investigated it, and they came up with the incredible situation that said that these cows had ingested a poisonous plant, and that the ingestion caused them to bloating and then to explode their stomach.
Dude, they blew up, yeah.
And it just blew up. And now, how many people think that's a plausible explanation? I mean, it, you know, stomachs just don't explode, and private parts just don't explode and come off without any blood. I mean, realistically, something happened to this.
Something drained it.
Something drained it, and you know, do we have the capability of doing that with our technology? I don't know. Maybe we do, but it seems to me that something was able to take these animals, and it's happening all over the world. It's not just happening in North America. I mean, there's been reports of cattle mutilation everywhere, and it's all the same, that there's no explanation for how it's done. Nobody sees it, being done, and the results are all the same, that these cows look like they've been surgically had their organs removed. Of course, I asked Cinta about that, and she said, you know, the standard answer that that the Adirakku have nothing to do with this, that it's all part of the government doing it for their own experimentation, and they're just blaming the aliens because they can get away with it by saying the aliens are doing it rather than the government.
Well, let's go to Albuquerque, New Mexico. Stefan's with us. First-time caller, too, by the way. Go ahead, Stefan.
Yes, hello. Greetings to you all.
You too.
Thank you. I have a story that is very odd, and when I tell it to, like, my wife and one of my best friends, they think I'm crazy. What happened is, you know, because I say it's an alien encounter, I did not see anything. What was strange is that I was at the computer in May of 2010, and everything was tranquil and everything. The next thing I remember is like I blacked out, because the next thing I remember, I woke up the next day, and on my left wrist, I had horizontal scratches on my wrist, and one area particularly was a little bit deep. The scratches, and I looked all over the apartment. How did this happen? I could not see anywhere where I would have gotten any of these scratches, didn't feel anything. And within, a few days, the horizontal scratches, which had dried blood on them, just disappeared. But one remained for like 3 months, and that one that remained, all of a sudden, to the side of it, grew a black hair. And I don't have hairy arms, only at the top, but on my wrist area, and comparing it with my right wrist, there are no hairs in that area, not even close. And there's an area the size of a rice bead, that remained for the longest time, and right next to that grew a dark hair that protruded probably, when it grew, probably eighth of an inch. And it remained until I wore a metal-banded watch that, you know, lifted out, but then it came back. And I say to my wife that I was abducted by aliens. I don't know what to say. Something happened, and they implanted something in my wrist, and that hair is an antenna.
Wow.
It's very odd, because I compared it to my other arm. I never had a hair in that area, right under the...
Is it still there?
Well, I've been wearing a metal watch and a metal band, and it pulls it out, but it'll grow back, it seems like. But I haven't seen it now for 3 months or so.
All right, Bob Mitchell, have you heard of one like that?
Oh, I haven't heard of one about the hair, but it's interesting antenna. That he said that it was a blackness, that he blacked out and didn't remember anything, and that's the quite common denominator that I find in almost everybody I've talked to, that at some point there is this, as I mentioned, a complete blackout period where they have no idea what's happened to them. The caller said he was at a computer, and I wasn't quite sure of how long, if hours had gone by or day or a whole day had gone by before he found himself back at the computer again. But missing time sometimes is part of it too. But having a little hair stuck out that's an antenna, that I think that's a new one.
What do these creatures want, Bob?
Well, they're tracking us, I think, or some of us. Because a lot of the experiences, it's interesting. I find that most people when they get to the age of 40 or 50, they either want to tell you about their stories or they start remembering things that happened as a childhood and now they're putting the pieces together. It almost seems that when these things happen as at the younger ages, that they sort of accept it as just part of growing up. It's everybody has these experiences and they don't think anything of it. But it's when they get older, they start thinking back on things and things don't make sense to them. But almost all of them begin at the childhood age. So anybody who has had any kind of experience with an alien encounter, it seems to have been tracking them all their lives.
Anything we should be worried about, Bob, do you think?
Worried. Well, there's obviously something going on. And I think the thing that we should be worried about is that our government doesn't want us to know what's going on. And if the big secret is that they are allowing abductions to take place in return for getting, technology, that's something that, I think mankind would rile up against and riot against. And that may be why they don't want to tell us that. Because how could they ever explain that we have, our cell phones today, our very thin screen TVs and the stealth bomber technology, because we allow them to abduct people left and right in return for this technology.
And why would they abduct people like that in a shroud of secrecy by cutting deals? That doesn't sound good at all, does it?
It doesn't sound good at all. You've had David Politis on many times about the missing 411 people.
Yeah.
And this falls into place with that, too, I think, is that, I've heard anywhere from statistics of 600,000 to 1 million people go missing every year in the United States alone. And, they're not all being, as I said before, killed by serial killers or domestic violence or runaways. Something's happening to these people.
Something scary. All right, stay with us, Bob. We're coming back. We'll take some final comments from you and phone calls. Okay, this weekend I'm going to be at the Architects of the New Paradigm Conference. Some of the guests will include Catherine Austin Fitz, ufologist Richard Dolan, and so many more. We're going to have a great time. Full information at coasttocoastam.com. It's up there in Northern California. So go take a look. You'll get the information. Still a few more tickets left, so come on out and see us. Okay, we're back. Bob Mitchell with us, and your final phone calls here. Tell us about What If, where we can get the book, Bob. Where is it available?
It's available at Amazon.com for American customers and Amazon.ca for Canadian customers. And there's links on my website, which is bobmitchellauthor.simplesite.com. In fact, all my books are on there, and so the links link them up to Amazon. And I can be reached at bobmitchellwriter@gmail.com if anybody has experiences that they want to tell me about. I'd be more than happy to talk to them and listen to what they have to say.
When you got into this project, did you expect it to be as undertaking and wild as it ended?
Absolutely not. When I first started, I had no idea how many people out there have had experiences. I mean, we've all heard of Betty and Barney Hill.
Sure.
We've heard of Travis Walton and a few others. And I really thought that, you know, these were the people that were unique, that it was something that didn't happen to everybody or a lot of people. And then, lo and behold, I'm finding people left and right have all kinds of experiences that, and it makes me think that, you know, there has to be millions of people around the world that have experienced entities, I'm sure mantids, greys, you name it. And most of them don't want to tell anybody because they do feel a little bit like people would think they're crazy. But I think with disclosure coming closer and closer every year, every minute maybe, more and more people will come out and want to tell their stories. And the more they tell people, the more they'll find that other people have the same experiences. I mean, look at your dating site where there's 35,000 people on it now.
Yeah.
How many of those, when they get together, they talk about what's happened to
them?
Oh,
my gosh. It's got to be huge.
I mean, it's mind-blowing to see how many people have had experiences. And they're not all the same. I mean, they have bits and pieces the same, but some are terrifying. Some are just completely amazed by what they see.
Let's go to the Bronx. It's Joe's turn. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how you doing, Joe?
Good.
Good. Yeah, I wanted to ask Bob Mitchell. Now, the person you referred to that had the encounter in space with the 30-foot Priamanthus,
yes.
I'm thinking it's Deepak Chopra, but, you know, you don't have to reveal the name.
It's not him.
It's not. Okay. Now, getting to the Roswell incident, I've heard Don Schmidt mention that there was a surviving ET named either J-Rod or Squiggly. Mm.
J-Rod is what we've heard.
Yeah, they don't know that name. I asked her about that, but she said two did survive, but they died very quickly.
How tall were
they,
Bob?
J. Rod wasn't one of them.
Were they about 3 feet tall?
Surprisingly, they're not as short as some people claim to be. She says the average height of an Adirondack. And if you assume they are the grays that we're talking about, is about 5'1", 5'2". But most of them are a little shorter than that, and they stop growing when they're about 15. So they do have a childlike, they look a little childlike compared to an adult. So a lot of people sort of look at them as smaller than they really are. But she says that they're not really 3 or 4 feet tall, that most people have described them as.
If they don't,
and they're not really, and they're not gray either. She says that their color basically is more a Mediterranean hue.
If they don't crash a saucer, how long do they live?
Oh, they live. The average Adirondack lives to be about 400 years old, and that's 400 years their time, which is an equivalent of about 1,000 our time. Their year is 2.5 times what ours is.
That's a long time, isn't it?
Yeah, and there's about 15 billion of them on their main planet.
All right, back to the calls we go. We go to Eric in Bodega Bay, California. Hey, Eric, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, happy holidays, George.
You too.
Love and light to both of you guys. And Bob, I just really thank you for spreading the news about the unconditional love with the praying mantis. And I did have an experience with a praying mantis about 7-8 years ago. And it happened after a time that we saved a seabird. We saved its life the day before Christmas. And I was with a friend of mine that was a hunter for many years, and it was the only time he saved a bird. And the next day, a praying mantis appeared in my Jeep, and about a few days later, he was visiting, and a bird landed on his finger. A lot of really neat things happened.
Huh.
And I had two experiences. Once when I was 11, I lost 3 hours time, and I recalled some things that happened after that. And then when I was 20, I was into, Richard Hoagland, and the Monuments to Mars book and the video. And I actually studied it, and I watched it over and over and over again. And I do believe, Bob, there's a message within all of that that has to do with the Anunnaki and the love and the light of everything connected in the universe.
Did they leave us symbols, Bob?
The Adirondack?
Uh-huh.
Well, they say that they were the ones that created the Egyptians and the Mayans, and their story is that at that time, when the Egyptian, ancient Egyptian civilization was at its supreme top of their food chain, they walked around on the same ground as the Egyptians did, and the same with the Mayans. But over time, that the Egyptians and the Mayans, they grew greedy and decided that they were more powerful, and they actually attacked the Adirondack. And the Adirondack have this feeling where they don't want to fight back, that they're a benevolent race. So they could have easily wiped out the Egyptians or the Mayans or anybody at that time, but instead they chose to leave. And really, since that time, they've never come back to live among mankind. They've only watched mankind from afar. But the Egyptians and the Mayans were their greatest creation, she told me. In fact, some of their clothing that they wear on their home planet resembles the Egyptian the dress that they wear.
Did they talk about Mars at all?
She said that there are no bases on Mars right now, but they have been on Mars before, and they have been on the moon before. In fact, the aliens that she talked to said that the moon landing never happened. And I think that's a big controversial subject among a lot of people, whether it did or didn't. She claims that at the time we didn't have the technology to go to the moon. Today we might, but back in the 60s we didn't, and we didn't have the capability of going through the Van Allen belt, which is the radiation belt around our atmosphere.
Right.
So, you know, there's a lot of people that think that the moon landing was staged, and she says it was.
Okay, let's go to Tate in Toronto, International Line. Hi, Tate. Go ahead.
Good day. I grew up by the government in children's aid. Since I was 5 years old, they completely took me from my family.
In Canada?
Pardon?
In Canada or the U.S.?
Yeah, Canada. And they started putting me on a lot of medication, such as Ritalin. Caused me 10 seizures a day, 3 times a month.
Oh, gosh.
Drugging me up really, really bad, that I OD'd several times as a kid. I became very violent. I couldn't go to school. I couldn't learn. And I ended up in a hospital with seizures one day, and I died. And I woke up on a wooden table that was for giants, not for humans. And I sat up, and this was not a dream. This was real. And I sat up and said, where am I? Am I in heaven? That I went to church since I was young. And so I believed in God and always believed in something else. And I wanted my tumors taken away. I was willing to die to get it gone. And I had no tumor. And I sat up on this table. And there were 3 guys in suits, like moon suits, the man in the moon. Or you could say more alien-shaped. Face so big and round with big oval eyes that would probably be about as big as my arms that went ovally. And I said, where am I, in heaven? And they said, yes, you are. And I said, well, where's the Lord? Where's my judgment time? And he says, this is not your judgment time. We've cloned you and we are sending you back. And I said to them, I don't want to go back. And they said, you have to. And I said, well, what is God sending me back for? And they told me that I won't know until I'm much older. Now, I've been homeless my whole life almost. I've never had a home, never had family, much support. I did live in a house, for about 4 years of my life. And then I traveled a lot. And I died again when I was 17 years old, I got OD'd by Valiums mixed in alcohol. I've had many people that have tried poisonings, putting all, drugs in drinks, and I've seen it. I've switched the drinks and seen the other person die and ran out of a building when I was 16, 17 years old. I've had swords put to my throat that I've said, do it, and they drop the sword, and I end up knocking the people down on the ground and whatever and warning them, don't come threaten this person that's not feared to die again.
Well, you've got a purpose for coming back here, Tate. That's for sure. The question is, what is it? And when do you really find out? Do you think these extraterrestrials, Bob, try to give us a message like they gave him?
Well, I've never heard of that kind of story before that he had. But
no, that one's different.
Well, the message is from some of them is that the oneness of the universe, that the body that we're in now is just a vessel that we're in this life, that the universal oneness is everywhere, and we're all part of the same. We're all part of the same universe. That's one of the messages, and the other message is that that I found from some of the people in my book, which we didn't get to talk to, is that we're evolving into something. Several of the people in my book talked about how that they feel that this body is only a temporary body to evolve into something else. And that eventually we evolve into a higher being on a higher planet and perhaps even a higher dimension. And of course, the other message is that we're just an experiment and we're a food source for them. So I think.
Well, that's all we need.
Take your pick, and some of them are better than the other, but it all comes back to the same two words: what if?
Let's go to Eric in Pennsylvania. Squeeze you in here, Eric, before we got to go. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Eric.
My name is Eric Mitchell, and I would like to say what he just said about the human vessel. We've been here all along. We are the alien. I mean, look back to ancient times. We have been masqueraded by people in the sky. I mean, come on. We have to look up and see what we have been.
Well, that's what we've been talking about all night, Eric.
It's pathetic. Like, I mean, we're here on Earth fighting wars, fighting crimes, fighting disease, and we can't even look to ourselves to find who we are.
A hateful, hateful planet, I'll tell you that. Bob, we only have a minute left or so, but do give out some information about your conference coming up, if you would.
Yeah, it's June 24th, 25th, and 26th in Brantford, Ontario. It's called the Alien Cosmic Expo. I think it's on the Saturday morning is when we're going to have the ET disclosure hearing. And as I mentioned, Richard Dolan, Nick Pope, Grant Cameron, Stanton Friedman, Danny Sheehan from the Vatican Connection.
You've got the heavy hitters there, let me tell you.
The heavy hitters and Stephen Bassett, hopefully. And it'll be the one event. If you're going to go to one event this year, that's the one to go to.
Okay. Be well, Bob. Keep in touch with us.
Thanks, George.
Bob Mitchell's book is called What If? Close Encounters of the Unusual Kind. Well, stick with us all week. We've got some great coast-to-coast programs for you in store as we get 2016 well underway. January's moving along fast already. Make it slow down. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borelson, George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.